You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We've got some spare transactional updates for you. Najee Harris is preparing as if he'll be able to play Friday against Kansas City for the Chargers in Brazil. And then Gabe Davis is back with the Buffalo Bills after nobody else wanted him. Now, at least that's what it appears. All right, I got one game, one gesture, three stats that encapsulate the Rangers' surge. Now, that's the beauty of this thing. When you win 9 out of 10 and you win 6 in a row, there can be so many other options for this as well. But wanted to focus in on the one game and the one gesture to start things out, if that's okay with you guys.
For sure.
Okay, excellent. Now,
must have been Mike. Whenever he did his speech, that was his gesture. That was the game that set everything off. They've been a best team in baseball since he gave his inspiring Coach Balzac speech.
I guess they went 2-3 after he gave that speech.
They've got 11-4 since then, Kevin. So I think we just look at it. It took some time to ramp it up.
So it took like a week for the speech to catch on, really.
Took all the star players getting injured.
See, but he
for the
said he didn't care about game 38 or 37. Or he only cared about 38, and they won that game. Then he said he didn't care about 37, and they lost that game. So he needs to come out.
He's care about all the games.
Yeah, he needs to come out.
Stop caring about some of the games,
yeah,
Mike. Care
I care
about all the
about
games.
This game and this game, and then we can continue the win streak all the way through.
That's
to
what
the
Bochy
end
tells
of the
us. Bochy
season.
Will say, hey, I only care about winning this game today.
Man, I'm a little nervous about that conversation tomorrow because I said, did you feel like this was your last stand for the playoffs? And he goes, definitely not.
He wanted to tell you to shut
yeah.
the hell up.
Well, guess what? His team has done a great job at it.
They
and
have.
I will ask that question every week if it puts them on a 6-game winning streak.
I'll
argue it was my question.
Oh, that's really turned things up since then?
In all seriousness, though,
I'll give you credit if that's the case.
We have seen an incredible level of contributions from this team at a time that, like, every other day it feels like you lost one of your core World Series players.
From the 4-6-9, so the math says we're undefeated without Marcus. If we played the whole season without him, we would be 139-0.
Technically, that is, I need to double check that math.
I appreciate math.
Because I feel like he might have missed a couple games before, but if that's true, then that is how it works.
Did we win all the games that he was out earlier in the season?
I will go check, and then I will cede the first question if you will ask Bruce Bochy if the key to the winning streak has been no Marcus Semien. If you promise you will ask that question.
If you can prove to me, Kevin,
okay,
that this season, every time he's not played, they've won, I will ask Bruce Bochy that question.
Okay, I will see the research.
I will be willing to take that smack through the phone.
Man, he's going to be like, are you kidding me? So let's go back to Friday night. There are so many, that's the great thing about this winning streak. There are so many great options.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to Friday night. Jack Leiter, Six innings pitched, gives up two earned runs, but he's able to strike a lot of people out again and has two walks. I know you'd prefer lower than that. I get it. But a 3.5-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio for Jack Leiter, at least especially early in his career, that's going to work every time.
Dawson's never going to let that go, is he? Two walks. Can you believe this kid?
So for Gavin Dawson, real quick, just as an aside to all of that, you're allowed to alter your opinion when new information
That's
has been presented,
true,
right?
Yes.
Like that opinion was last
was
year.
Was based off the...
to be fair, I didn't hear every minute of the show, but I don't recall on Friday hearing him go like, oh, Leiter's probably going to get run because he's a bum. So like, I don't know if I think that part is entirely fair. All right, but he pitches great. The Rangers win, and then the gesture to go along with it. I'm sure you've not like an actual physical gesture.
Oh, I thought maybe he put his hand over his heart and then sent it out to the world.
It was the gesture of Nate Eovaldi and texting Leiter before the game. And he kind of had like a mini scouting report for him. And Leiter talked about this. And you love to hear this. You rally around losing guys like that, talking about Eovaldi not being there, especially when it's your ace like Ebo. He's been incredible. He didn't travel this week, but he was texting me, and he dove in on the A's lineup. Only Ebo does that. He texted me a bunch about the game already tonight, so he's in it with us. Hopefully we can do something cool. That'd be awesome. What I love about that is that means Eovaldi is texting Jack Leiter's phone, knowing that he's not going to see it during the game. Just so he can retroactively be like, oh, man, the way you closed at the third inning, that was badass, or something like that. And that's going to be a really cool. So that game and that gesture, I think, was an incredible way to display how close parts of this Rangers team are, even when they're not like right next to you.
Yeah. And, you know, any information that you get from the best pitcher on your team, maybe one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Sure.
Whether it be after the game, he's texting you stuff, or before the game. If he sends you something before the game about this team, he's probably looking at it going, I'm trying to simplify this for Jack a little bit so that he's thinking a little bit
Agreed.
Less. Hey, you need to think about these four things. That's all you need to think about when you're on the mound. And you watch the pace of Eovaldi while he pitches. Doesn't it look like, I don't even want to think. I just want to get up and throw. What's my pitch? Where do I need to locate it? Let's go.
He had already done all his thinking before the game.
Exactly. And so I think that's just another positive that comes along with him helping a young pitcher who's trying to figure his way out in this league, who has the talent. Like, he clearly has the talent to do it. He just got to find the consistency of being able to clear his mind and focus on what he needs to do in that moment.
Now, I've got three stats for you that show how much the Rangers have been rocking and rolling. Let's start with that series against the A's. The Rangers were able to sweep. That was the first time Texas has swept the A's on the road in almost 10 years. You have to go back to September 22nd through the 24th, 2015. So they were in a different stadium, different city, and I guess technically had different names. So that is incredible. Now, let's talk about a player that he has been on a freaking tear as of late. Give me cut number three, if you can, for the second straight season, the late season exploits of this man.
The right-hander with the step back, the hesitation, and now the pitch, and there's a drive deep into left. Gurriel going back, and it's out of here. Line drive home run for Wyatt Langford. He has tied the score at three.
Now, the Rangers have been on a roll as a team. This particular individual, Wyatt Langford, he had a blistering month of August. 5 home runs, 14 RBIs. He had an on-base percentage of 424, and perhaps more importantly, that OPS of 945. He hits another home run yesterday, and yesterday was kind of an anomaly game for the Rangers going up against the Diamondbacks, in that they made not only one, but two comebacks earlier in the game. So obviously you have the comeback in the ninth inning, and then you're able to finish it off in the 10th. But you were also down after the first two innings, 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels like that's been the death of this Rangers team. Like, if you fall into a hole early on, you can move on with the rest of your day. Because this Rangers team, more often than not, has not been able to come back from that. So not only did they come back from that, then they fell behind again, and then they came back again to keep the winning streak alive.
In the last five games for Leiter, there have been two, Kevin, where he's gone over.
Mm.
So I know you're talking about how amazing he's been lately.
Did you say, you mean Langford?
Langford, yeah.
Okay.
My apologies.
I was like, that feels good for Leiter.
Yeah, for Leiter, yeah. He's
two?
He's not hitting at all, Kevin.
Oh, he's doing great.
But so for those two, though, that's what I'm saying is in those both of those games, he got walks. So that's like
on base percentage.
And that's really what it's about is you're dangerous enough that guys have to be careful pitching to you and they have to take you far more seriously. And Kevin, we recently had lots of conversations about him and I was asked, you were sitting right next to me, you know, what maybe the disappointment had been. And I was like, I feel like Langford's expectations are too high. Even myself put too high of expectations on him, and he hasn't lived up to that yet. But there are times when this dude, there are stretches for him where you're like, he might be the best. And maybe we're getting a better version of him right now.
And you know what? You kind of, and that's kind of given me another perspective of it. Because he closed out last year with, he was the player of the month in the American League in September. Not rookie of the month, player of the month. If he closes out with another blistering September, this season is going to end up looking really good. Now, it took a minute to get there, but if he has a hot August and a hot September, well, first of all, that could propel this team into the playoffs, but also it could propel him above 800 OPS, above 25 home runs, like to a significantly better stat line. And even if you care about this, his batting average is really picked up as well.
Yeah, the remember Odor, though, would at the end of the year, you'd look at his numbers and go, did he have a bad season?
Yeah.
But then most of the season, you're just like, dude, he just is bad. But then you'd look at the total numbers and go, well, hold on, explain this somehow.
So this one, I think, is going to be different because you could see Wyatt Langford being the force that propels this team into the playoffs. And if that's the case, then you're like, great. Those last 2 months were the 2 months that mattered. Thank you for getting us into the playoffs. Then hopefully we can go from there. Now, you made reference to this earlier in the show, and I wanted to break down what has been the absolute, I think, biggest deal for the Rangers along this entire road. Runners in scoring position.
Okay.
Feels like we have complained about this all season long. Does it not?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
It's been a blistering situation.
Okay. Stop that.
Okay.
All right. So for the Rangers, they went 5-for-24 in that sweep of Cleveland with runners in scoring position. So not great whatsoever. It was a .208 batting average, but
it's better than .096.
Yes, that is very true. But they also had two shutouts.
Yep.
And in those three games, they give up a total of three runs. And so you're like, okay, well, that's their winning formula. In the lone loss they have in this 10-game streak, it was to the Angels 0-for-3. So you can see it. But before yesterday's game, the Rangers had been phenomenal with runners in scoring position. 22-for-50. In a five-game stretch. So think about that. There's some easy math there.
Okay.
That's a .440 batting average with runners in scoring position. .440!
That means 44% of the time.
That's right. It works every time. And also, five games, 50 opportunities. That means the Rangers were averaging 10 opportunities per game with runners in scoring position. Even yesterday, they had 8 opportunities with runners in scoring position. If you have that many attempts and you're even average, you're going to be scoring runs left and right. And if you can go ahead and give me cut number 4, we're going to go to the 10th, where obviously just the way baseball is set up, you automatically have a runner in scoring position. They were able to make it pay off.
The 1-1. That ball hit back up the middle off of the pitcher, Burgos. It deflects into foul ground. Coming in to score, Hellman. Here comes Duran. Throw at the plate. And Duran is out.
And the Rangers can't challenge.
They can't challenge it. The call from plate umpire Chad Fairchild is out at the plate.
Well, guess what? It's going to work out because they are going to review it. And Ezekiel Duran, incredible hustle. but also that incredible kind of body bending slide to get in there where it looks like he didn't actually get tagged at all. And certainly not until after he had touched the plate. But that's the stat that stands out to me the most, is how effective they have been with runners in scoring position.
So you said 440. That's like spectacular in a, obviously a small.
That feels impossible.
Yeah. The Rangers in 2023, we're always going to compare to the best we've seen.
Yeah.
275.
And that's incredible as well.
It was fourth that year.
I was about to say, I bet that's near the
top. Other, yeah, there were only three other teams better than them that year. And obviously, and their pitching wasn't what it is right now. So just imagine if they could be that effective with runners in scoring position with the type of pitching they're commanding at the moment.
If the Rangers were hitting like that with runners in scoring position this year, I think they would be 92-47. I think they could be like 20 games better because it's been so terrible. But if it picks up at the right time, hey.
Blistering pace. For
Stop
sure.
it.
Okay.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the Tuesday tailgate. If Texas and Alabama aren't back, does that mean Miami and Florida State are? Plus, we probably need to talk about UNC. Next right here on the...
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Fan. Was it Daryl Royal who said if you throw the football, two out of the three outcomes are bad? Do you think it's because he had seen Arch Manning throw the football? A question that we will discuss as we bring in Gardner Freeman.
There are three things that can happen on a forward pass. Two of them are bad.
Yeah. For the Tuesday tailgate, by the way, Carter, you had your first successful show this weekend in that it happened. Where can people catch you?
That's actually true. After our first successful show, we were like, it happened.
It was one of the shows of all time.
Yeah, look, and if you've ever had a first show and you made it through without looking at the clock and being like, I don't know, I'm out of stuff.
Let's go ahead and go break, guys.
You did a good job. Where can people hear you?
Yeah, so thank you to everyone who came out to NFM this past Saturday for Fan University. It was a lot of fun seeing Tolos
Nebraska
out there.
Furniture,
all the way in Nebraska we were up there. But we'll be on Saturdays at 9, This Saturday will be 9 to 1. Going forward, it'll be 9 to noon, but still previewing all the big games of any given Saturday. And then I write recaps of every week for 105throughthefan.com. So that is up right now on the website for week one. And I've added in my thoughts on the Miami-Notre Dame game from Sunday night and the debacle that was the UNC-TCU game from yesterday.
Okay, so we have a lot of options. Do we want to start with one of the top 10 matchups? Do you want to start with a granddaughter slayer? Where would you guys like to go?
I want to ask you guys a real quick question. Do you feel like they shouldn't have just played one college football game yesterday? That yesterday should have had more games?
Interesting.
Because it was so late in the evening, too. I was like, man, I could have had this up all day long.
I guess ESPN probably looked at it like, hey, this is Bill Belichick. We don't need anything else to get in the way of this. We need all of the attention to be on this one dude
as we
watch his incomplete football team with no depth chart. I don't know if you guys saw that. They didn't release a depth chart to the media before this game.
Scary.
Get absolutely demolished by what I think is going to be a very good TCU team. But, I mean, that was embarrassing last night.
Yeah. I love TCU.
Okay, so this was the game for you.
We love talking about them, too.
Yes, we do. Now, there are a lot of amazing stats coming out of that game in particular. Some people will tell you the most amazing stat is the number of Bill Belichick-coached NFL teams giving up 48 points in an NFL game was 0 times in 511 games, while the one college game that he's coached, he gave up 48 points, so 1 time in one game. What I think is a more amazing stat is that the 73-year-old Belichick's team gave up 48 points. That's twice as old as his girlfriend. So
they quickly stopped showing her, too.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as the game got out of hand, it was like, all right, we're going to put the headset on the dog in the booth, and we're going
to
focus on that.
Go back home for curfew and stuff as well. But, yes, that game got so out of control that, I don't know, Dog Herb Street. I forgot what the dog's... Yeah, was shown on screen. Do you like that because the game was out of reach? Because I know there are some no fun police people were like, we're showing a dog. And I'm like, because the game is over.
So Eric Schiaffalo was the no fun police.
Oh,
he hated Ben.
Of all people.
And I'm sure he doesn't like Peter either. But college football
is confusing. Yeah.
College football, in my mind, is the sport of silliness. There's so much goofy stuff that goes on every week. It's what makes it so fun. Because it's so random. So, yeah, just at that point, there's nothing else to say about, like, there's no analysis to be had. So, I personally don't mind.
How good can TCU be? I know their coach after the game said, hey, we kind of felt like we were being disrespected, like we weren't really in this game, which I think is a completely fair way to feel because this was North Carolina versus, it kind of felt like, if you look at wrestling, TCU was the opponent that was already in the ring when you came back from commercial break, and then UNC got this big elaborate entrance, and they get their ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, TCU is going to be a contender in the Big 12. Before the season, I thought they'd have a say in the race. I wasn't sure how much of a say they would have, but now, given especially some of the other results from week one.
Like Baylor.
That's my preseason Big 12 picks not looking great after week one, but TCU's 100% going to have a say in this. And they talked about this in the week leading up to the game, was that going into them playing Colorado 2 years ago, Deion Sanders, all the focus was on him. TCU took that for granted. They lose that game. So this game, they clearly came in focused, and this UNC team is far worse even than that Colorado team was that they lost to, but they look focused, they look ready to go, and it's going to be a lot of fun seeing what they can do. Josh Hoover is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the Big 12.
Now, I wanted to mention Baylor real quick, not only because that was your pick to win the Big 12, but also you were at that game against Auburn, correct?
I did. I made it down to Waco. I got to see Baylor refuse to stop a nosebleed in that game on the ground. Auburn had over 300 rushing yards, and Jackson Arnold, the former OU quarterback now at Auburn, looks like a much better fit in the Hugh Freeze RPO offense. He just knows when to take off, and Baylor lost their best edge defender, Jackie Marshall, on the second drive of that game. I don't think that would have mattered too much in the long run because Baylor just could not stop anything on the ground. That's concerning. They have to fix that really quick because they come up here actually for SMU this week. They'll be in Dallas for the game this weekend. But yeah, that was majorly concerning.
It's weird to phrase the question like this, and it's not often that you say a quarterback threw for 170 yards, but it was realistically way fewer than that. And so that was the stat line for Arch Manning. He had 170 yards. Do you want to argue that some of that was in garbage time, even though they tried to convince you that the game was still on the line? You know what? We can get into that. But through the first three quarters, the offense for, quite frankly, both teams, but certainly for the Longhorns in that much-anticipated showdown with Ohio State, was just dreadful.
I mean, Arch had 70 passing yards going into the fourth quarter.
I think it was even fewer than that, wasn't it?
He had 36 at halftime. I know that much. So, you know, credit where credit's due. Texas's defense kept them in that game.
Absolutely.
Also going up against a quarterback making his first career start against a very good defense. So Texas, you know, that was a winnable game for them in my mind. But yeah, it was shocking to see Arch throwing at his receiver's feet, his receivers dropping as many balls as they did, and just the absolute incompetence that Steve Sarkisian shows when he's in the red zone calling plays.
All right.
This goes back several years, too.
I want to circle back to that in just one second, but when you were talking about the defense for both sides, I thought Texas's defense did a really good job keeping Jeremiah Smith in check. Now, I know Jeremiah Smith kept himself
in check. Yeah, he had a couple drops.
He had a lot of drops.
Early
yeah.
as well. Do you think it's credit to both, or do you say you tag on those drops and it looks like a whole different day for Jeremiah Smith? He was fine.
I'll give Texas's defense credit
that's
because
what I think too.
Pete Kwiatkowski last year in the Cotton Bowl shut him down too. So he definitely has a way to take Jeremiah Smith out of games like this. But yeah, it the fact that Texas didn't score for 56 and a half minutes of this game, you're going to look back at the score of this game in, you know, December when we're deciding the CFP bracket and say, oh, they only lost by seven. You know, they only lost by one score on the road to whoever, you know, what ended up being the number one team in the country. That it's just, context matters so much. Because the offense was so poor, and they had multiple chances in the red zone that they came up empty on.
Now, you were just talking about that. It feels like more than a one-game problem, more than a Texas problem.
Yeah.
Steve Sarkisian is pretty universally accepted, I feel like, as a very, very sharp offensive mind.
Oh, he was called a mastermind.
Whoa!
Genius beginning of that game.
But when you get into the red zone, he feels like he could coach the Cowboys.
He overthinks it. I just think he gets in his own way, and because it's a multiple year issue, that just affects it more. It's something Lincoln Riley did at Oklahoma and now at USC, is I just think he gets in his own head about the plays that he calls, because this goes back 2023 in the Red River game. Texas has first and goal at the 1 yard line, four straight rushing plays. They can't get a single yard. In that same season when they play Washington in the Sugar Bowl in the playoff, they have a chance to win that game. 30 seconds left, first and goal at, I don't know, maybe the 8 or the 7. No score. Like, it's just something that, at this point, I think Texas fans have to accept that there's going to be struggles in that zone, because you've seen it year over year over year as the team's gotten more talented.
Two things. One, I think Sark sometimes feels like field goals are give up and that he won't do them. He's like, no, we have to have 7, especially against whoever this opponent is, because it's going to be a 42-point game for both of us. And so I felt that they didn't go for extra or for field goals when they needed to at times.
I agree with that. Did you feel on that particular series where they got stuffed at 4th and 1 foot line, they had struggled too much and were too far behind that you're like, you got to go for that?
No, yeah. That makes sense,
or
too.
Earlier,
there were some other times, too. But it also felt like it felt like he was protecting Arch a lot in this game, as in, like, I'm running the ball, and he wanted to wear out Ohio State's line. I mean, he talked about that. He was like, what was it? They said that against Alabama, run to the sidelines until they're tired and then run it right at them. Well, they never got them tired enough, and Ohio State looked at the end of the game like they were like, no, we're actually right better right now. But it looked like he was trying to protect a quarterback that he didn't trust at times, and I felt like just when I watched Quinn Ewers, it was like, you're throwing, because we're not doing anything else. You're throwing the ball, and he had a lot of trust in him, but he didn't seem like he had as much trust in Arch.
Now you see why Arch didn't threaten Ewers at all. That was all the talk for mostly last season, not his first year in Texas, but this is like, Ewers had control of that offense pretty much from day one. Since that Alabama game Ewers played back in like 2022, he knew that offense, and he was going to command it well. Arch, I guess, still needs time to figure it out, and Ohio State, tough opponent, tough road environment, but I do think it goes a little deeper than just he had an off day.
Now,
Do you think that Texas defense looked pretty damn good, though?
Yeah. Oh, no. Look,
absolutely.
I mean, I know y'all were talking about Jeremiah Smith and everything, but
I think both of those – and I do think Texas's defense gets some credit for that. I know he shot himself in the foot a couple times. I think both of those defenses walk away, and they're like, you can complain to somebody else.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, like, I don't want to hear it. I thought Ohio State's defense was phenomenal. I thought Texas's defense was really, really, really good as well. I think both of those defenses can walk out of there and be like, it's going to be tough to mess with us.
And you talk about Sark thinking he can't take 3 points. He's got to get touchdowns in an environment like that. There's so much NFL talent on that field that you would think, like, hey, points are going to be at a premium, especially early in the season when both teams, this is their first game, getting back into the swing of things. I would think at that point, you need to take points when you can get them.
I just don't... I kept seeing people pointing out on Twitter, oh, everybody that took the over, and it was like, oh, my God. You know,
I was like, what was the over-under?
I didn't know. What, do you remember what it was at the time?
I just probably like 50, give or take.
I felt like it should have been high if based on the tweets I was seeing.
Yeah.
So I didn't know.
Always bet the unders in week one. I think I saw a stat that was like you would have gone, you know, you would have won 60% of your bets if you just taken the unders in every game in week one and week zero. It's just
that's what I do next year. Then
their team
make a bet on every opening game and
47.
Okay,
it's a year over year trend too. So that happens. It's players getting their first games of the season, like especially in those big matchups.
Kind of like they need preseason.
Yeah, that's what we need. It's week zero.
Hey, and that's why plenty of teams schedule their built-in cupcake now. Ohio State's quarterback walks out of this as the favorite now. Look, it's super early to win the Heisman Trophy. I want to talk about him and Garrett Nussmeier, who there was plenty of heat going on him going into the season. How do you feel about those two and their viability long term in the Heisman race?
Well, Sayan was a former 5-star recruit. He's going to have all the talent around him, and he already has one of the best wins of the year. But I think Nussmeier's win was more impressive because Nussmeier went into Clemson and won on the road, didn't turn the ball over, should have had 2 touchdown passes. The one that it was a, as soon as Nussmeier threw this ball, I was like, that is a beauty. Receiver catches it, crosses the goal line. Ball comes out when he touches the ground. They call it incomplete. I don't know what it catches anymore.
Yes.
But Nussmeier was awesome in that game. And the fact that LSU's defense didn't allow Clemson to score in the second half on the road, defense like that travels. And Harold Perkins is a guy we loved several years ago at LSU. Got hurt, didn't look the same last year. He looks like he's that just, you know, rocket flying across the middle of the field who can really propel LSU's defense to championship-type levels. But Nussmeier just looks the part of a number one overall pick. Going into an environment like that, keeping the ball, driving down the field, leading his team from behind, and winning that game. To me, that's the most impressive win of the weekend. And on my rankings on 1053thefan.com, I have Nussmeier as my number one in the Heisman rankings. And I didn't really feel like anyone had this incredible, amazing performance in week one, but his was the most impressive.
What about y'all's quarterback at Oklahoma?
Pretty good. I mean, he broke Baker Mayfield's record for passing yards in a debut. It was against an FCS team, but the funny thing is Illinois State is actually 30 points higher in like ESPN's football power index than Temple. So Illinois State's not even the worst team on OU's schedule, which I just think is funny. But he looked like a guy who can command an offense, which Jackson Arnold and Malik Hawkins could not do for OU last year. Now, OU couldn't run the ball in this game, which is concerning, but passing looked pretty good.
If we're scouting out kind of quarterbacks, and I know we're going to get back to some of the games, Lenora Sellers and Fernando Mendoza. So South Carolina and Indiana, respectively. How do you feel about not only the college prospects, but the pro prospects of both of these guys?
Lenora Sellers, for sure. We were hosting Bet Nation yesterday, our last show of the year, while this game was on, and we're just in the chat every time Lenoris does something. It's like he's the next Lamar Jackson. He's the next Cam Newton. Just the way that he can throw and run and just truck people. Like, he should not move that fast for how big he is. It's just wild, his athleticism. But Fernando Mendoza, he was good at Cal last year, at Indiana now. I think in Indiana's system, he'll still be pretty good. I'm not as high on him as a lot of other people seem to be, because Cal started out hot last year and kind of fell off towards the end. But
right,
maybe there's more pro scouts that are into that.
He has the build of the prototypical, like 6'5", you know, I think that's probably what helps.
Look, the quarterback that just amazed me, and I've been preaching about this guy for months, is Devin Dampier at Utah. So Utah's on the road at UCLA. Nico Iamaleava leaves Tennessee, is at UCLA now.
Good job.
Utah goes in and just spanks them. They were 14 of 16 on third down. That's pretty good. Devin Dampier had over 200 passing yards and almost 100 rushing yards. They beat them by 33 points on the road. We're talking about TCU. We think TCU is going to be good. Arizona State's still going to be good in the Big 12. Given some of the other results, I'm like, I think Utah should be the front runner now. With what they did to a Power 4 team on the road, that was super impressive.
Do you at least like UCLA saying, well, it's got to get better from here?
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Pretty hard to be worse than that. I guess they could have scored 0 points. It seemed at times like they were going to.
That is a very good point.
I'm kind of curious regarding Sellers, because you've been very high on him in the conversation.
Yeah,
at least.
He's excellent.
He, last year, 18-7, touchdown to interception ratio. He's two up right now. Now, he had 7 rushing touchdowns also, so that's 25.
He can run the ball.
Is it just... with the Sam Bradford 40-something to 2 interceptions kind of thing, is that the thing? We're not going to see him be that, but you're going to see him be productive?
I think also you have to factor in...
the team he's on.
I was going to say that, look, and this isn't not meant strictly as a shot at South Carolina, but if you look at like the pro potential he's got versus in terms of the rest of the team versus the rest of Arch Manning's roster, like that's going to be tough to kind of keep up with. And so
Broadus always talks about how difficult it is to scout the quarterback position.
Right.
And I wonder how much that has to do, like, you got to understand he doesn't have CeeDee Lamb to throw to and stuff like that.
He does have Nick Harbor, who's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Nick Harbor's a cheat code. I have not played the new college football game, but Sellers had a touchdown to Harbor in this game. Yep. They're like, I've run that play a million times in the game.
Yeah. Oh, look. And then, by the way, from the 469, stop it. Johnny Mateer is trash. That is really rude. Watch him play a little Elm.
Just 1-0, and your team's probably 0-1.
Cost a lot of his receivers opportunities to play at the next level. I'm just telling you that he's among the top group of Heisman candidates right now. But I also hope I made it very clear it's the beginning of the season, so a lot of that could change. But I'm just saying, if you're betting right now on the Heisman, he's in that top group.
And, you know, last year we had Ashton Jeanty in his first game run for 6 touchdowns, almost 300 yards. Travis Hunter, 3 touchdowns, maybe an interception in Colorado's first game. This year didn't really seem to have a incredible breakout performance
right
from any of the guys that we thought were going to be really good, or even kind of someone out of the blue. So I think there's still time for this race to really develop.
Okay, this is going to sound weird. Can I go with a year or two delayed breakout performance? What did you think about Miami and Carson Beck? Because this is somebody who wildly undelivered. He was going to be a really high draft pick, and then he moved on down the road. And I just want to play this highlight because this catch was freaking incredible. Go ahead and give me cut number 13, and I want to talk some more about Miami and Carson Beck.
Under pressure, off his back foot.
That catch was ridiculous.
Buddy. There
you
go. So preposterous.
I couldn't even. But Carson Beck was somebody that I thought looked pretty good over the weekend, especially I have lowered expectations of him now. And then Miami in general, I thought looked pretty good.
They did. And I was talking to Eric in the hallway about this. Miami turned the middle 8, you know, the 4 minutes before half, 4 minutes after the half, into the middle 16.
That's amazing.
That was the most impressive thing to me, is they stretched those drives out and punched the ball in on each of those drives to go up by 2 scores.
And that's so demoralizing for the other team.
And even still, Notre Dame, give them credit. They came all the way back and tied that game up. But then, Miami does enough at the end to win. I had questions about Miami's physicality, especially on defense, given how soft it was last year with Cam Ward there having to do everything. The offensive line we knew was going to be good, but the defensive line, Reuben Bain Jr. is a freak. He was one of the highest PFF graded players in that game. He's going to be really good this season. And if they can keep up that level of physical dominance against what I still think is going to be a good Notre Dame team, they're going to be way better than I was expecting.
If we can go ahead and hit cut number 14, I want to know, how in one game did Florida State get to half its win total from last season and Alabama look screwed for the season?
Sautre. Straight ahead inside the 10. Keeping his balance. Getting help from his friends. Finding his way to the goal line and aim.
Alabama did not look good. And Florida State, they're one win away from matching last year's total. So good for them. Happy days for John Mashota. What am I to make of this game where you've got a 2-touchdown favorite and they got thumped, man?
And they walked down the field on their first drive and scored. You're like, okay, Alabama's Alabama. But by the end of the game, they just looked like an average football team. And
average is a good word.
And those, to put that word in the same sentence with Alabama just seems insane. But that's what they look like. And when Kalen DeBoer got hired away from Washington to Alabama, I thought it was a good hire because of what he did with Washington and even Fresno State, Indiana, and he won with, I think it was, Wisconsin Whitewater at the D3 level. There are a lot of cracks in the foundation to what Kalen DeBoer does, especially looking at that Washington team that went to the title game. That was basically a young NFL team. Those are 6 fifth-year players who were all NFL talented guys who he didn't recruit. He just maximized their value. So as soon as he goes to Alabama and needs to do things himself, that's where things start to show their cracks. And he's 4-5 in his last 9 games against FBS competition.
Wow.
In like 200 plus games at Alabama, Nick Saban lost like 4 games by that many points.
Yeah.
And in 14 games at Alabama, Kalen DeBoer's already matched him. And there's talk about how players are having their friends and whatnot come in and out of hotel rooms nights before games, you know, up until 1 and 2 in the morning when Saban was there. It was locked down at 8 o'clock. Kalen DeBoer seems, the way that he coaches is so different than Saban. and it's clearly not working so far.
Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer.
I mean, I tried to go to, I think it was an Airbnb that Nick Saban was renting out. I got there 5 minutes early. He wouldn't even let me and my family check in.
Because he was late.
Kalen DeBoer would have given it to you for free.
That's probably
how that would have worked.
Like, get here early. You should have gotten here an hour earlier to give you an extra hour.
That's actually probably true. All right, Corey, I'm going to go to
With Saban, people were terrified to step out of line or do anything wrong, so they knew they better do everything correctly.
One of my overreactions of reality, which I did steal from you, Kevin, for the weekend
show,
is Auburn going to have more wins than Alabama this year? Because I have serious questions about the Tide. And I think if things get really ugly, Kalen DeBoer's not going to last this season. I don't care if his buyout's $70 million. I think Bama would go to Jimbo tier, what A&M did to get rid of their coach. I think they would. And then you have interim coach Nick Saban.
Right. Oh, look at you.
Wouldn't that be weird?
Look at you.
Bob Stoops did it at OU a couple years ago. So
then he led the Renegades to a championship.
That's true. I was there.
Corey, do you want to talk about UNT or the fascinating situation of Army football, both on and off the field?
Oh, let's check out Army football first.
All right. So Army football, here's the sad part. They lost to Tarleton State in double overtime. This was Tarleton State's second ever win over an FBS team. So that's not what you want. However, after the game, putting everything in perspective, Larry Pickett Jr., I believe, and his dad, they grabbed a man out of his burning car, out of the driver's seat, and carried him away from the vehicle. At one point, a woman, I don't know if she was a fan or what, yelled, "Larry, come on, get him out." And they did. They saved that guy's life.
It's pretty awesome.
That's amazing.
The only thing they can hang their hat on after that game against the Texans.
What are you doing? He just saved somebody's life.
I mean,
that's a pretty big...
Yeah.
I'll take that over winning a football game. But my favorite tweet about that.
Did you hear that? He didn't even finish his thought. He said, "I would take that over winning a football game, but."
There's always a but.
I am kind of curious. Would Jimmy Johnson take that over winning a football game?
No. He'd be like, "Send that car to the asthma field."
Would Nick Saban take that over winning a football game?
I want to say yes. But I will say no comment.
Would Bill Belichick have left somebody in the car in order to beat TCU this weekend?
It depends on if it was his granddaughter.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, his girlfriend. My apologies.
Oh, probably the same age.
For that. My apologies for
that. Oh, and his son's haircut? Like, what are we doing? The defensive coordinator? I looked up. I'm like, what is that? That is hideous.
Now, Corey, you're mean green.
51-0. And they only gave up 88 yards passing, 21 yards rushing. Look at that, dude. Defense is on fleek, right? Is that still a use?
Stop that.
In your face, people who don't know use fleek anymore.
Lamar Jackson couldn't do anything against
Lamar Jackson. Hold on. You're telling me.
That says Lamar.
That Lamar Jackson, who went to what school?
Louisville.
Where they are the what?
Cardinals.
You're telling me Lamar Cardinals and Lamar Jackson's football team.
The Lamardinals.
The Lamardinals.
Okay. So what you're telling me...
That. It just works, yeah.
Is that
you of all people should like that.
Drew Meestemaker, he should be the Heisman favorite.
I agree with that.
Shut up! Not you too!
I'm a UNT grad. I got to be.
Thank you, Khaki Kevin.
And is it Meestemaker?
Meestemaker.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 329 yards, 3 touchdowns, baby. Let's roll. To Lamar's 88 and 1 pick.
Lamar, the football team, not Lamar Jackson. I just want to go back and
this was his preseason.
I just said to Lamar, okay. Yeah, Robert Coleman. Sure, if that's what you want to say.
All right,
AKA Lamar.
Do Colorado fans need to change up their behavior at all? Because if not, we'll rename the Colorado Buffaloes. Because Deion Sanders says that their field reeks like weed every time. Do you think it's possible he just noticed that, or because like? That can't be the first time.
Was he sitting on the little toilet that he had installed on the sideline and thinking, wow, that smell is just purveying
that's
everywhere.
That's a medical issue, Carter. You will not besmirch that toilet.
Okay.
But did he just notice that it smells like weed Colorado football stadium?
I bet nobody was doing that before, you know, whenever they were winning lots of games.
He was too busy thinking about saving all his timeouts and what he was going to do with them once the game was done. Yeah. He's like, I got two of these in my pocket. I'm sure I can use them somewhere because I'm not going to use them to try and get my quarterback closer for the Hail Mary.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
From the 817, Sounds like that UNT defense was bussing. Shout out to Bruce Bochy.
Yeah, and then, hey, I am concerned for this person from the A17. Send that car to the asthma field, dying laughing in the car. If you are dying laughing right now, you and Johnny said he died of laughter, and then he was sitting here doing a presser. If he was dying of laughter, how did he do the press conference?
Because the Army guy probably got him out of his car.
Probably so.
Good point.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Now let's go back around. This is a serious situation. The Clemson quarterback. I know this happens. We all know fandom gets very heated. But did you see that his mom really thought something that had happened to him? Because on Tiger.net, and then of course it spread to other places, people said that he had been in a car accident and he was seriously hurt. And like, people started to call this kid's mom, and then she went to the message boards, and he even had to put out a statement saying he was fine. What are we doing?
Did not expect this much discussion about cars and the problems they can have in the segment, because I did not see that. But yeah, that is the crazy power of message boards in college football.
Surely we can do better than that, right, Corey?
I think so. I think we can do better than both of those things.
Yeah,
but will we?
The only thing we can't do better than is UNT.
Nobody can. I don't think anybody. Yeah, go Mean Green. Best maker forever.
And Army plays here a couple weeks, so maybe another Texas team can beat Army.
And we just talked about Army is reeling because they lost, not because of the other thing. All right, so what's a realistic prognostication for UNT football this year? We got people fist pumping in the other room. You're talking about the Lamardinals. What's a realistic prediction for this UNT team?
They got Washington State coming up, and I think that's the big one right there.
Yeah, and Eric Morris, UNT's head coach, former coach at Washington State. So,
oh, I'm sorry. We got WMU first, then Washington.
The Ghost
State.
Ponies of Western Michigan.
Okay, but for my question of what are realistic expectations for the year, I don't need a week-by-week breakdown.
After Washington
State, there's a lot of weeks in the
Army.
Year, though.
Yeah, they got Army after that.
I'd say a Heisman, possible national championship, and definitely a winning record.
Look, the Group of Five spot for the playoff is wide open. Boise State lost. Tulane's about the only one of the contenders that we looked any good in week one. Just saying.
Kevin Walker.
After the game against Army, Kevin, it's up.
I know I.
To South Alabama to stop them.
Tell people not to do this. But if UNT football wins the national championship this year, I will take all of your shifts for like 2 months. I will learn how to better do what it is that you do, and I will take all your shifts and make sure you still get paid and everything like that. There you go.
He's got a second job, so you might need to take those ones too.
Okay.
To double down.
I will get more information about your other line of work as well and try my best.
And after South Florida, it's UTSA.
Oh, the Roadrunners.
That's going to be
just played them.
They covered.
At home.
Yeah, they did.
They covered. It was a bad beat.
Just real quick, speaking of message boards, I saw somebody on an A&M message board, and I was like, you have to stop. And they said they would never believe in A&M again after they gave up the backdoor cover to UTSA. And I was like, if you're pinning all of your hopes and dreams on whether or not A&M covered against UTSA, you might have other issues.
Look, the Roadrunners had like 5,000 rushing yards in that game.
That is
they
true.
Ran all over the Aggies
one
defense.
Game? Yeah, every time they got the ball. Meep, meep. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
What was David Murphy talking about? We do it next in The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.